Hello, I'm Kirsty Young, and this is a podcast from the Desert Island Discs archive. For rights reasons, we've had to shorten the music. The programme was originally broadcast in 2004, and the presenter was Sue Lawley.
My castaway this week is an opera singer. Born and brought up in Romania under the Ceausescu regime, she was already a star in her own country when he was driven from power. His fall gave her more opportunities, and within a couple of years, she'd made her debut at Covent Garden as Mimi in Puccini's La Bohème. Since then, she's become one of the best-known and best-loved opera stars, her beauty and her voice combining to make her an almost perfect performer in the great roles of the repertoire. And the onstage magic is enhanced by the offstage romance, her relationship with the famous tenor whom she met when singing Bohème and whom she married when his wife died of a fatal illness. Her life, it seems, is like her art. It's pure opera. She is Angela Gheorghiu. That's how it looks from the outside, Angela, it has to be said. I mean, you are something of a kind of Puccini heroine. There's been so much drama and passion in your life. Is that how it feels from the inside?
I am from Romania, from hard time, and Ceausescu time you just mentioned. But in the same period, there are not only the bad things I remember. You know, for the artist in that time, I remember good, wonderful moments. That's all, it remains on my head. And then...
And you found great happiness, you found great romance, great passion.
Yes.
That's my point, really. I mean, it is like a melodrama.
Yes, it is. Also, when I met Roberto in the opera house, it was really... I remember the scene when two people meet for the first time and their hands and their eyes was electricity, exactly...
That's how it happened
with
us. But I mean, it was life imitating art
because
it was Bohème. I don't know whether your tiny hand was frozen, but certainly he touched it. He was Rodolfo, you were Mimi.
Yeah.
It was kind of love at first sight.
No. It was a love at first sight, not kind.
Oh, I see. It really was.
Yes. We met in 92, in fact, so here in Covent Garden, singing La Bohème, the same performance. But we decided to be together after 2 years. Also in Covent Garden. I was married before. We sang in 94 Roberto, Romeo and Juliet and me, Traviata.
Hmm.
And in that moment, we decide to be together.
That was, of course, a huge moment. I mean, it was stunning when you sang Mimi, which was your debut, but when you sang Traviata in 94, I think everyone said, you know, a star is born. Was it always your intention to be an international star? Did you know that that was what you were born to do?
Yes, yes. In fact, the truth is I'm just following my destiny. I need to do that. I'm obliged to do it. I always done.
That's why you were given the voice.
Maybe. That's not only the voice, you know. I'm absolutely sure you must to have aureola. I don't know how can I call this. It's something special around you.
Aura.
Aura, exactly. A thing you can't explain and it's impossible to learn from school. You have no teacher to give you that. So... Shame of me. I always realize that I have that something. I don't know if it's good or bad, but something I have around me. I always feel it. I saw this in people eyes around me, family, teachers, and then public. And I feel that I'm obliged to share. I'm just happy to give what maybe somebody else gave it to me.
Tell me about your first record.
My first record, I'll try to explain you why I arrived here and what kind of music I listened when I was little and what kind of voices gives me my love for art and for music. And my first recording is, on my taste, the best baritone voice I ever heard. And here's Nicolae Herla. He is now more than 70. And I really like to make our ouverture of our music with a prologue from Pagliacci.
Let's start, he says. Nikolai Herlier singing the prologue from Leoncavallo's I Pagliacci, a baritone and fellow countryman of yours, Angela. It's extraordinary that there seems to have been no musical talent in your family, and yet you and your sister could sing like angels from when you were tiny, hmm?
Yes. I don't know. It was just... I never remember one day of my life not singing. So I was so little. I sang with my sister. Our voices were so big, so enormous for our age that everybody was sure we'll be an opera singer.
This was in a small town
in Moldavia. Somewhere in Moldavia, exactly.
Mm, in the middle of Romania. Your father was a train driver.
Exactly. And my mother, she was a couturier, you know, a tailor. I was lucky because when I saw a beautiful dress somewhere in a movie, or she immediately copied for me, and I, in a very, very tough moment in Romania, so it was impossible to buy something somewhere.
Because there were no clothes. I mean, nothing in the shops, was
there? No. Well, maybe, but some just awful things. Like, it's impossible to explain. I always saw empty shops, empty, just white.
So did you go hungry as a child? Was the family...
Yes. When I was... a boarding school.
And presumably...
Okay, forget it. It was funny. It was funny.
But, I mean, I presume whenever there was anything, there was a great queue for them.
Yes, and then, you know what? Our food and my food in that period was art in general. I never missed something important in Bucharest. Each night I was on a theater, opera house, or movie. I never missed a premiere. It was a lucky moment.
That's the point, really. You say you have no choice but to follow this God-given talent, this voice. But was there also a feeling on your part that if you did that, you might win yourself some privileges? Life might be better, there might be more food, or you might go more places.
Yes, but I always been privileged. Hmm. Our teachers was the best teachers in Bucharest. I mean, everybody in that period has the feeling that they must to help Angela. I don't know why.
Record number two, tell me about that.
Number two, this lady, she was beautiful, the most beautiful and important popular singer in Romania. Her name is Maria Tănase. And here it's a song, a love song, name is Agurida, and the way she sings, it's a wonderful gift to have lagrima and to have tears in her voice. And here is Maria Tănase. Agurida.
Maria Tănase singing the Romanian love song Agurida. So you left your small town age 14. You were sent off to Bucharest,
yes,
as we've been talking about. You were there, you were at school there, then you were at the music academy there.
Yes.
You began at the same time to make professional appearances, didn't you? What sort of things did you do? What sort of events did you perform at? I mean, were they political events?
I sang for a lot of reasons, if you want. Political reasons, because I was obliged being a student. I sang patriotic music. I sang Romanian music, very difficult, for a lot of occasions.
But did you sing for the Ceausescu's?
Of course. Yes, I sang. The first time I sang for Ceausescu, in fact, it was not for him. It was for Mikhail Gorbachev, I remember. And I remember I sang a wonderful Russian piece. I remember a little story. I was late because it was impossible to catch a tram or a bus or something. And everybody, even Ceausescu, was waiting for me. And I remember it was full of Securitate's people from Securitate saying to me, go there, everybody waiting for you, go there. Mm. It was absolutely frightening.
You had to do what you were required to do.
Absolutely. So I sang my piece, my Romanian peace. Everybody was happy afterwards. And of course, at the same time, they said to me, you must sing because it's the only way you can participate for a music competition outside of my country.
Exactly. So you had to. You felt that you had to perform when you were asked to perform
Absolutely.
For the judges or whoever, so that you would be given some kind of license to travel abroad. Because you went
impossible.
To Finland and Vienna, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, yes. I was, but not in the way I wanted to. They never answered me. Never even answer yes or no.
What you would ask, but you would never have an answer.
No.
They would never say yes or no. It just didn't happen.
Only two times with the choir, when I was a student, they asked me to be a soloist for them. That's why they said yes. But at the same time, I saw Securitate around me, so it was impossible to make one step without three or four.
You were watched.
Four,
you were watched
all
the whole time.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It was awful. Bye bye.
And then, of course, just after you graduated, and you graduated
yes.
with first-class honours, the fall came. There was the popular uprising. The army were on side, and he fell. You were there. You were in Bucharest.
I mean,
we know there was chaos on the streets. Did you see
yes.
it? Did you?
I saw it. It was awful. It was the most horrible moment of my life because it was worse than a war. Because I heard all the arms, and you never knew who's who, what's next, who will be next. He'll be back. What's happened? And in the same time, I received in that days my first telephone call to sing abroad of my country, in Frankfurt. It's a Romanian impresario. Her name is Luisa Petrov, and she knew about me, and she just it's a revolution in Romania. So after 2 or 3 days, she called me, and she invited me to sing. In Amsterdam somewhere.
But did you realize then that this was a great turning point, that this suddenly you could have the freedom?
Everybody was sure something was going to happen.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
But did you put those two things together? The call came, Ceausescu had gone, you thought, this is the moment, I can now pursue
I was
the career.
Sure. I was sure, but all the period, all the 6 years I made an Academy of Music, me and everybody, we've been waiting for the finish, you know?
So you must have been really excited in that moment.
It was more than perfect. I mean, it was exactly in time.
Yeah.
Exactly in time.
Perfect
so.
Time.
Perfect time. Perfect time, yes.
Record number three.
All the time, if I'm outside of my country, I go and buy a CD. He's one of the genius of pianists in the past and maybe today. His name is Dean Lipati, and he was a real, real genius. And I'm really glad to discover Chopin Vals with Dean Lipati.
Dinu Lipati, the great Romanian pianist, playing part of Chopin's Waltz No. 9 in A-flat. So Ceausescu had fallen, Angela Gheorghiu, you were free to go wherever your career might lead you, and it was always your dream to audition at the Opera House, so that's what you came and did in the early 90s, yeah? Do you remember?
Absolutely right.
Do you remember what you sang for your...
Of course, and I have a nice little story. Now my English just, I try to manage, but then it was absolutely a disaster, so I had a little piece of paper, you know, where is the Opera House, Covent Garden, stage door, floor, street? And I saw a nice man, and I said, please, do you know where is the Opera House, Covent Garden? there, you know, 10 meters on the right side. Thank you very much. So I go inside, I just wait for the directors to make my audition. And who came inside? The last man I ask, where's the opera house? And from that moment, my audition was like a dream.
Who was
girl,
he? Who was he?
I tell you immediately, he's still my mentor. He's still my friend and everything in Royal Opera House. His name is Peter Katona. Yeah. I sang La Bohème, Louise, and immediately he gave me a performance with La Bohème. And the coincidence was to sing with Roberto Alani.
But it's amazing. I mean, just to Absolutely. Walk in, to have an audition and be given the lead role in a...
Absolutely. You know. I always want that.
You were, what, about 26 when
yeah,
you finally got
exactly.
there, weren't you? And it
yeah,
all
yeah.
happened. But I'm right in saying, aren't I, we say your debut was in Mimi, but in fact
yes.
you did go on to the Royal Opera House stage before that, didn't you? Just
exactly,
to try it
exactly,
out.
Exactly, because I asked Peter Katona, the Royal Opera House, it was very important for me, and he understand to give me something much less important, but only to be in the opera house, to feel the atmosphere, to be here, to give me courage at the same time. And he gave me a Zerlina from Don Giovanni.
Mm. Just to give you the feel.
Wonderful,
of the
but really it was very, very, very helpful for me.
What about the other great transition from what had been the communist East into this kind of abundant capitalist West? I mean, you suddenly turned around and saw
well,
the shops
everything.
Full.
I was amazed to see all the colors, first with a flower shop. Fruit shops, to find everything, to see all these colors. I always made pictures and send it to my parents, to my family. Look how beautiful! It was me in front of the flowers.
And have you got used to it now? Or do you? Yeah. I mean, I know you like shopping, they say. I don't know. I mean, we all
they
like
say,
shopping. But I want,
you
know.
Like, no?
I love shopping.
Oh, of course. All the shops
of
are for
course.
Some.
But for someone who's been brought up with so little, as you say, I mean, what I'm asking is, does it go on being completely stunning to see this stuff?
I am always amazed. And I never stop to be with my eyes very, very open, my heart beating very hard and very strong. I become to be used, but impressed, I'm still impressed.
Next piece of music, number 4.
You know, during my study in Bucharest, we've been obliged to have another job. I asked the rector of the conservatoire to help me in a way. And he called Marin Constantin, the conductor of this madrigal, the most important choir in years from Romania. And they engaged me and they pay me each month, but never been a singer on this choir. And here you have the madrigal singing for you.
The Romanian National Chamber Choir, or Madrigal Choir, founded and conducted by Marin Constantin, singing a composition by the Romanian Nicolae Lungu called Mariere intru Celi in Alte, Glory in the Highest. Apparently George Scholti, who of course directed that great Traviata in 94, warned you to look after your voice and concentrate on being a great singer rather than a great star. Have you heeded that warning?
In fact, he understood me when we start to rehearse in that moment. And during my rehearsal, when we know that story really. He started to cry like a child, and me singing for the first time, Joe Scholti conducting for the first time. And
it was the first time he'd conducted Traviata on stage, wasn't it?
First time we had the possibility and chance to show something historical in that moment. Mm. And I felt from the very beginning, from my first rehearsal, that was my passport. Everybody crying. It was something they will never forget. I'll never forget that. And from that moment, we understand that something special happened. Mm. Mm. And then everything goes...
Everything's flowed from there.
Yes.
But he, Scholti, was obviously very concerned, you know, because what he saw in that moment was this freshness.
And yeah, he didn't know me, but because even for that Traviata, everything I've done before and after, when I'm doing something, I think and think and think and think. If I'm somewhere, I'm doing something, it's because I was convinced to do it. And I said yes. If I'm not convinced and I'm not well, I am staying home.
So you're your own mistress
all the time.
It's very interesting because you're born, as we've heard, of this sort of very repressive regime.
Yes, yes.
However repressive it was, it didn't tame your spirit, did it? You are absolutely
in
control.
In fact, in that time it was vice versa. Never say something or never have the right to have an opinion or to open your mouth. That's why I learned a lot from that moment.
Record number 5.
I know it's not the moment, but I'm very proud that Roberto learned very quick Romanian, and he started to sing Romanian music. He recorded also a Romanian song with the perfect pronunciation and the perfect feeling. Here's Roberto Alagna, O ce veste minunată.
Roberto Alagna, my castaway's husband, singing a traditional Romanian Christmas song, O ce veste minunată. Oh, wonderful news. Beautiful.
I remember that this song, it was my father who sang for me for the first time, and I learned from my father. And I sang this song a lot in my little town when I was little, you know.
In public?
In public, yeah, for people, you know.
Were you constantly asked
to
sing?
Yes, all around. Many times, many times.
Oh. We should just complete the love story that began with that electric shock we talked about in 1992 between the two of you, because, as we said, the time elapsed and then you came back together in 94 to sing Traviata. But in the meantime, Roberto's wife had died tragically and left him with a baby daughter. He tells a very romantic story that one morning, you know, you knocked on his door in the early hours of the morning because you couldn't be without him anymore. Is that right?
Exactly. It happened here in London, yeah.
Tell me.
It was very simple. So I felt that it was impossible to live without. And in one night I decided, so at 7 o'clock in the morning, I was... He didn't know I'd come. He was outside, so we met in front of his door. And we stayed together from that moment.
And he rang
it was your... It was in December 94.
And he rang up your husband, didn't he?
Yes, immediately.
And said?
Said, in fact, we didn't say much because he understands very well. He says, she's with you. Yes. Okay.
He understood.
Yeah.
And you and Roberto were married a couple of years later by Mayor Giuliani, I think.
Yes, exactly, in New York.
And so you became stepmother to his little girl.
Yes.
And then in very tragic circumstances again, you together became adoptive parents of another little girl.
Yeah, my sister, because my sister died, and then after years also in an accident, her father. So it was absolutely normal to have a... And what can I tell you? She's very sweet. Her name is Ioana, and Roberto, daughter Ornella, they are keeping all the time in touch. They speak Romanian, and then they speak all the languages now. They play a little piano, a little... I mean, they're growing now.
Mm. And what are... They're about, what, 13, 14?
Exactly, 13 yeah. and 14. Yeah. Of course, they are happy, very happy with us. They adore us. We adore them. But it's not a normal relationship. They are doing a lot of trips for their ages, coming from with us all over the world. So they are amazed about this, but it's not a normal life.
Record number 6.
I choose this song with Doina Bada. She's a wonderful voice from Romania. She sings sort of a romance. In Romania, we have a type of music between folk, classical music, and popular music. I would like you to discover interesting music and a big soul. Doina Bada. Deschide, deschide fereastra, numai o vorbă să-ți spui, căci nimeni în lumea aceasta frumoasă
Doina Badia, again, a Romanian singing Deschide, Deschide, Ferestra, Open, Open the Window. So you were a huge hit, Angela Gheorghiu, and your international career was launched. How do you keep yourself fresh and your approach to things fresh? Or does your heart sink when you're asked to sing another Traviata?
I don't know. It's just because I'm still in really enjoying being in this world and a musician world, and I'm still enjoying traveling. I'm still enjoying to discover. And
do you consciously keep adding to your repertoire?
Yes, all the time. I try to keep my freshness or youngest roles. So I eat good food. I mean, big repertoire, but I'm back to have my starters.
And what else is an important part? I mean, you famously, of course, have talked
no,
about...
No, the most important is to be in love.
You've famously talked about sex before opera. I mean, that helps too, does it?
Of course it helps. To be loved and to be in love. It's the most important thing.
Particularly when you're performing with your husband.
That's very hard because the emotions, they are doubled. So it's not so easy, may I tell you.
Isn't it? I would have thought it was easier performing with somebody you were completely physically at ease with.
No. It's completely vice versa. No, I mean, being on stage with Roberto is double emotions. I try to make everything to please him and vice versa. You know, it's huge forces, you know.
But would you say that you get nearer to some kind of musical performance perfection with him than with a professional partner?
It's true. It's something physical in the voice. So our voices matches a lot. And I heard that from the very beginning. In 1992, when I heard Roberto, I said he'll be the tenor of our time, with no doubt. He has a huge talent to be an artist, and I like to have in front of me an artist.
Mm. I mean, forgive me, but you also both look very good, which is not always...
Thanks God.
It's not always the case with opera singers, and you can both act. It's not just music for you, it is the whole performance.
No. For me, the most important is the role. If I feel the role, the text, I help the personage with my voice and the music. Mm. Because the bass is not music and text. It's text and then music.
Mm. And you've made a film. You've made a film of Tosca.
Yes.
Which has been hugely successful.
French
made
film.
I just wonder if you would ever think about making a film that was not an opera. Would you like to act?
Is that a proposal?
That could be. You never know who's listening. Is that what you'd like to do?
I would like. I would like. In fact, it's my dream. I'm a maniac of movies and theatre. And that reminds me a lot of Richard Eyre when I work with him for Traviata. He was the first and last producer making real work for an opera. I mean, reading the text like an actor. He was adorable and he was so professionalist.
So what are you saying, that you'd quite like to be directed by someone like that in a straight acting role?
Exactly.
Record number 7.
We have a wonderful, wonderful pan flute player, Gheorghe Zamfir. I'm sure you know this wonderful artist, Gheorghe Zamfir.
Gheorghe Zamfir, a Romanian virtuoso on the panpipes. What do you call them? Nai.
Nai, exactly.
And he was playing Ciocalia.
Yeah, it's a bird.
The lark. The lark.
Exactly, the lark.
Yeah. Mm. So, Angela, this is the moment when we cast you away all alone on a desert island. I mean, how domesticated are you? Will you be able to look after yourself?
I'll sing. I'm never become not knowing what to do if I'm alone. I have my moments when I want to be alone. Mm. Absolutely alone, to doing what I want to do.
You're self-sufficient, you're saying, but you also, from everything you say, have a kind of essential optimism. You wouldn't...
I am very optimistic. Mm. I am optimistic, and more than optimistic, I'm positive. I'm a positive person.
So you wouldn't do a Tosca, even if your life has been rather operatic? You wouldn't suddenly leap off the top of somewhere and put an end to it all?
Oh, no!
Last record.
Romania has the greatest composer, George Enescu. I would like to beg you to listen to his music, but in the same time with a Romanian folkloric style and feeling and smell. And here we are listening to Rhapsody No. 1 by George Enescu.
Part of George Ionescu's Rhapsody No. 1 in A major, played by the Bucharest Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Christian Mandel. Now, Angela Gheorghiu, if you could only take one of those 8 records, which one would you take?
What a face! What a face! I mean, it's absolutely difficult. On our list, I like number 7.
That's the panpipes.
It's a that's voila. Yes. I take my birds there.
The lark. You will have the lark singing.
Yeah,
on
not because it's the best or I like more, but I can't give an answer.
Okay. What about a book? Can you give an answer to one book? We give you the Bible and we give you the complete works of Shakespeare. One book of your own choice.
A book to learn a good English, maybe. Hmm, why not?
Why not?
I would like that.
Okay.
Because I adore English language.
And what about a luxury?
A cup of jasmine tea. I discover afternoon tea in London. I discover jasmine tea in London. I adore it, and I drink afternoon tea all over the world. I adore that.
Afternoon tea it is. Angela Gheorghiu, thank you very much indeed for letting
thank
us hear your
you.
Desert
Thank
Islanders.
You very much. It was wonderful.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Desert Island Discs archive. For more podcasts, please visit bbc.co.uk/radio4.